This is KTO's Juno Afternoon, and we're calling today's show COVID in the Margins. Earlier in the show, we spoke with my six-year-old daughter, Emma, who's also in recovery. Our next guest is Kimberly Sumner, a survivor and advocate of domestic violence and sexual assault. Welcome, Kim.
Hi. Thank you, Christina.
I'm so grateful that you're joining us today. This is an incredibly important topic. Kim is with us today to talk about her experience of surviving domestic violence and sexual assault. I have worked with Kim for many years. We have volunteered together here in the community. And we know that, you know, that a lot of reports show that child abuse and domestic violence and sexual assault are both increased. While other reports show that that the actual reports of violence has decreased by 90%. And so, Kim, I thank you so much for talking about this important topic. Can you tell us what brought you to this work?
Yeah, thank you for asking, Christina. I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse and a survivor of domestic violence and rape as a woman. I remember when I started my healing journey, how I felt ashamed and embarrassed and isolated. And I often had feelings of, you know, this is my fault. I had guilt and shame. And I thought, if I felt this way, how many more people this way as well? And what can I do to support them as well as support myself while healing? So this is how I got into, you know, working with survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Kim. And I mean, I would say in my experience and the hundreds and hundreds of people that I've worked with, everyone feels guilt and shame for experiencing this kind of violence. Would you say that that's your experience as well?
That is my experience. I think, you know, I don't think I've ever talked to a survivor of violence that hasn't felt or disclosed that they felt some sort of shame or guilt around, you know, what they experienced.
Yeah, and it's incredible that a lot of us, I think that it can never be, you know, overlooked how difficult it is to survive violence and then return to work in this field. And I have so much appreciation for fellow survivors who, you know, continue to be in this work. So with, you know, with all of the years that you have in your professional and personal experience with this, can you tell us how the virus has changed the work of domestic violence and sexual assault?
Yeah, you know, I was, you know, thinking about this for a little while, and I don't think that it's changed the work. I think we're all still showing up and supporting survivors of intimate violence. But what I do think has changed is how survivors are able to reach out. So right now, you know, everyone feels isolated, but survivors of intimate violence are trapped in these homes or situations with their perpetrators. And before, you know, it's been hard to reach out for support, but now there's an extra layer to it. And it may be that it's almost impossible to reach out in any way. Now they're stuck in home with their perpetrator and really feeling maybe hopeless, even more scared, even more untrusting of others. And that just sort of adds the element of isolation, especially for survivors or individuals experiencing, you know, intimate violence.
Right. And for people who, you know, don't know a lot about domestic violence, isolation is a key part, you know, to being able to perpetuate and perpetrate violence is by, you know, cutting them off from their family and their friends. And, you know, we know that there are a lot of survivors who do not identify with this terminology that we use to talk about this subject. You know, so, I mean, so talking about it in a way that people can understand and identify is so important, you know, but the fact is, you know, that once you are in an abusive relationship, that, you know, not having contact with your family or friends is how they keep you there in that cycle. Yeah, so I would agree absolutely that people are still, you know, continuing to show up, but there's less ways for people to reach out for help. One of the more interesting ways that I've seen perpetrators violate and keep people isolated is through social media, by, you know, not allowing them to have access to their accounts. And, you know, so, I mean, even this window of access to the world that's become a lot of people's resource and connection is also been barred. Kim, what do you want the community to know about this topic?
You know, I think it's really important for the community to know that there's not domestic violence doesn't look like one thing. There's not an ideal picture of what a victim of domestic violence looks like. It can appear in many ways. And if you have any concerns about a loved one, especially right now with a virus and everyone feeling isolated and sort of not being able to connect with loved ones as easily, you know, I just ask you to just please take a second and think about how hard it could be for your loved one to leave, that it's not cut and dry, that it's not easy for someone to leave a partner in any situation, especially a partner that's abusive. So if you have someone that trusts you and that feels safe with you, I ask that you take time to breathe and listen to what they have to say, that you hold space for them to feel safe, that you hold space for them to feel, you know, not judged, but welcomed, and to understand that they may not be able to leave right then and there. And I know that there's this pull or want your loved one just to leave. Oh, they abuse you, or, you know, or they're hurting you. Leave right now, just get out. But to understand that it's not always that easy and that it's very complicated, and that the more they feel safe with you, the more they're going to be willing to open up and to reach out for more help. And I think that's really, really important for the community to know, that domestic violence doesn't just affect one group of people, but it affects us all. We all have family members or friends or coworkers that have been affected by violence. And then I just ask that you hold space for them and honor their decisions, whether it's a decision you would want for them.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, that's a lot of really great advice for people. I think, you know, some of the other myths that are really important to talk about is that domestic violence and sexual assaults happen to every type of class of people, every type of race, religion, age, you know, that it is, that no one is exempt, you know, from these issues. It's not like, you know, for people that you can be in, you know, you can be incredibly brilliant, that intelligence doesn't have anything to do with it. You know, that, like you said, that these are everybody issues. And you know, and they've been around for a very, very long time. You know, here in the state of Alaska, you have a 50% chance as a woman to be physically assaulted, sexually assaulted, or both. And that is, you know, that these issues are further compounded by this global pandemic that they were in. Kim, the last question I want to ask you is, for survivors listening, what do you want them to know? For anyone who is struggling and has experienced this, what would you like them to know?
You know, I would just like to say that I believe you, that you are believed, and you are so brave, and that you are so strong, you know, and I want to say that I hope that you can find safety in reaching out to someone, whether it's a loved one or a friend or a coworker. There's so many agencies in the community that have space for you to come to. What you're experiencing is really scary, and I just want you to hear that you're not alone, and there are people out there that care about you and want you to be safe. So I hope that you can find a way to reach out in a way that feels safe for you. Thank you.
Beautiful. That's really beautiful. And you're not alone. There are a lot of us that have been physically and sexually assaulted. There are a lot of us that are open about it. And just by statistics alone, we know that, you know, at any place, you know, if you are in the grocery store, the national average is 1 in 4. And here in the state of Alaska, it's 1 in 2. So out of every 2 women that you see, one of them has been physically assaulted or sexually assaulted or both in their lifetime. And that's why it's incredibly important that we talk about this, and, you know, that all disciplines, you know, whether that is, you know, people that are working in the schools or medical, any kind of, you know, in any type of work, that every person is aware of this, and that you ready yourself for conversations like this, you know, that you, like Kim said, that you are able to create space for people, excuse me, that you believe people, and, you know, that you support them until they're able to make that choice, and that you continue to support them regardless of whatever choice they make. Thank you so much, Kim. Kim, is there anything else that you would like to add?
No, I think that sums up what I have to say. I just want to say thank you, Christina, for inviting me on your show. I feel really honored, and you're someone that I admire, your wisdom and your strength and your courage, and I've learned so much from you, so thank you for inviting me on your show.
Oh, thank you. You guys, Kim and I have grown up, so to speak, together, and we've healed. We've done a lot of healing together, and I'm so grateful that you're with me today. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. Koyana, Gunashtish.